Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is Word for Word here on Eurofolk Radio, and I'm Pastor Steve, and this is the show for Tuesday, September the 6th, and we're going to be covering Bamidbar 7 and 8. Now, if you don't know what Bamidbar is, that is the book of Numbers. That is the actual Hebrew name for the book. So this is all a recounting of all the gifts for the dedicating of the altar out in the wilderness. It's a very long chapter with lots of verses, but they're all short little verses. They're not great big ones. There's 89 verses, but they're all quickies. So we're going to get into that. We're going to try to do chapter 7 and chapter 8 today. So let's just jump right in on this. Chapter 7, verse 1. And it was on the day when Moshe had completed setting up the tabernacle and had anointed it and had sanctified it and all its vessels, and the altar with all its vessels, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that came near the leaders of Israel, heads of the house of their forefathers, leaders of the tribes that stood over those mustered. We talked about all the mustering of the people yesterday. And brought their gift offerings before Yahweh, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 leaders and an ox for each one. And they brought them near before the tabernacle. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, take of them, that they may be to perform the service of the tent of meeting, and give them to the Lewium, each man according to his service. Verse 6. And took Moshe the wagons and the oxen, and gave them to the Lewium. Verse 7. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon according to their service. Verse 8. And 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari according to their service, under the hand of Ithamar, son of Aharon the priest. Verse 9. But the sons of Kehath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary that was theirs required they carry it upon their shoulders. They didn't need wagons and an ox. Verse 10. And brought near the leaders for the dedication, 2598, of the altar in the day of the anointing of it. Brought near the leaders their gift offering before the altar. And the word anoint, dedication here, 2598, is Hanukkah. Okay, that's where we get the word Hanukkah, when they dedicated the temple again after removing all the Greek gods during the time of the Maccabees. And they only had 1 day's supply of oil left, But Yahweh made that one day supply burn for 8 days. So they have 8 days of Hanukkah. That is not a Jewish holiday. Yeshua Messiah celebrated it. It's in the book of John, chapter 10. It's called the Feast of the Dedication. He was there at the temple. And if Yeshua Messiah did it, I'm going to do it. It has nothing to do with the Jew. Okay. Verse 11. Said Yahweh to Moshe, each leader on his day, one leader on a day, shall bring near the gift offerings for the dedicating of the altar. Verse 12. And it was on the first day that Nachshon, son of Amminadab, of the tribe of Yehuda, brought near his gift offerings. Now these are all basically, they had gotten together and decided what they were going to give, and they're all going to give basically the same thing. So it's going to go over and over and over. That's just how it's written. His gift offering was one charger, 7086, of silver, the weight of it 130 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them filled with fine flour mingled with olive oil for a grain offering. One spoon, 3709. That word means the palm of the hand, like a cupped hand. And that's what they used for the word for spoon. It had dual usage. In the palm of the hand, or a cupped instrument like a spoon. One spoon, 3709, of 10 shekels of gold, full of incense for the grain offering. Verse 15, one bull calf, one ram, one male lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. Verse 16, one kid of the goats for a sin offering. Verse 17, and for a sacrifice for an offering of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five he-lambs of the first year. This was the gift offering of Nachshon, son of Amminadab. All right, the offering things are all going to be basically the same, but the names of the people giving them are going to change. That's going to be the changes basically throughout this whole chapter. Let me get another hit of coffee here. That was just on the verge of going cold. Glad I killed it. Okay. Verse 18. I'm just going to run through these. I don't really need to give the verse number because they're all going to be the same except for the names of the people giving them. On the second day, that's 8145, brought near Netanel, 5417, son of Suar, 6686, leader of Issachar. He brought near his gift offering of one charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, one bowl of silver of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them filled with fine flour mingled with olive oil for a grain offering, one spoon of gold of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull calf, one ram, one male lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice for an offering of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five he-lambs of the first year. This was the gift offering of Netanel, son of Suar. On the third, 7992, day, the leader of the children of Zebulun, Eliab, 446, son of Kelon, 2497, his gift offering, one charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, one bowl of silver of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both filled with fine flour mingled with olive oil for a grain offering. One spoon of gold of 10 shekels filled with incense. One bull calf, one ram, one he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. One male kid of the goats for a sin offering. And for a sacrifice of an offering of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five he-lambs of the first year. This was the gift offering of Eliab, 352, son of Kalon. No, that's 446, pardon me. And on the fourth, 7243, day, the leader of the children of Reuben, Elitzur, 468, son of Shedeur, 7707. His gift offering was one charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, one bowl of silver of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both filled with fine flour mingled with olive oil for a grain offering, one spoon of gold of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull calf, one ram, one he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice for an offering of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five he-lambs of the first year. This was the gift offering of Elitzur, son of Shedeur. On the fifth, 2549, day, the leader of the children of Shimeon, Shelumiel, 8017, son of Surishaddai, 6701. His gift offering was one charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, one bowl of silver of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both full of fine flour mingled with olive oil for a grain offering, one spoon of gold of 10 shekels filled with incense, one bull calf, one ram, one he-lamb of the first year for a sin offering, one male kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of an offering of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five he-lambs of the first year. This was the gift offering of Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai. On the sixth, 8345, day, the leader of the children of Gad, Eliasaph, 460, son of Deuel, 1845. His gift offering was one charger of silver, weighing 130 shekels, one bowl of silver of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both filled with fine flour mingled with olive oil for a grain offering, one spoon of gold of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull calf, one ram, one he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. one male kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of an offering of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five he-lambs of the first year. This was the gift offering of Eliasaph, son of Deuel. On the seventh, 7637 day, the leader of the children of Ephraim, Elishama, 476, son of Amihud, 5989. His gift offering was one charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, one bowl of silver of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both full of fine flour mingled with olive oil for a grain offering, one spoon of gold of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull calf, one ram, one he-lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of an offering of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five he-lambs of the first year. This was the gift offering of Elishama, son of Amihud. I told you this repeats over and over and over. On the 8th, 8066 day, the leader of the children of Manasseh, Gamaliel, 1583, son of Pedahzur, 6301. His gift offering was one charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, one bowl of silver of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both full of fine flour mingled with olive oil for a grain offering, one spoon of gold of 10 shekels full of incense, one bull calf, one ram, one he-lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male kid of the goats for a sin offering. Just over and over. And for a sacrifice of an offering of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five he-lambs of the first year. This was the gift offering of Gamaliel, son of Pedahzur. On the 9th, 8671 day, the leader of the children of Binyamin, Abidan, 27, son of Gideoni, 1441. His gift offering was one charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, one bowl of silver of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both full of fine flour mingled with olive oil for a grain offering. Whew. 62. One spoon of gold of 10 shekels, full of incense, one bull calf, one ram, one he-lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of an offering of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-lambs of the first year. This was the gift offering of Abidan, son of Gideoni. On the 10th, 6224, day the leader of the children of Dan, Achiezer, 295, son of Amishaddai, 5996. His gift offering was one charger of silver, weighing 130 shekels, one bowl of silver of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both full of fine flour mingled with olive oil for a grain offering. One spoon of gold of 10 shekels full of incense. One bull calf, one ram, one he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. One male kid of the goats for a sin offering. And for a sacrifice of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he lambs of the first year. This was the gift offering of Achiezer, son of Amishaddai. On the 11th, now that's 8147 and 6240 combined to give the number 11. On the 11th day, the leader of the children of Asher, Pagiel, 6295, son of Ochran. His gift offering was one charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, one bowl of silver of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both full of fine flour mingled with olive oil for a grain offering. One spoon of gold of 10 shekels full of incense. One bull calf, one ram, one he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. One male kid of the goats for a sin offering. And for a sacrifice of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he-lambs of the first year. This was the gift offering of Pagiel, son of Ochran. On the 12th day, now that's 81, that's incorrect. I have to correct that. I've got a mistake here in the Hebrew. What is that? 78. I don't have that available. 12th day. Okay. The leader of the children of Naphtali, Akira, 299, son of Anon, 5881. His gift offering was one charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, one bowl of silver of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both full of fine flour mingled with olive oil for a grain offering. One spoon of gold of 10 shekels full of incense. One bull calf, one ram, one he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. One male kid of the goats for a sin offering. And for a sacrifice of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five he goats, five he-lambs of the first year. This was the gift offering of Akira, son of Anon. Now we're all the way up to verse 84. This was the dedication of the altar in the day of its anointing by the leaders of Israel, chargers of silver, 12, bowls of silver, 12, spoons of gold, 12, 130 shekels weight for each charger of silver, 70 shekels weight for each bowl of silver. All silver vessels weighed 2,400 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. That's a lot of gold and silver, folks. Okay, that's a lot. Verse 86, the spoons of gold were 12, filled with incense, weighing 10 shekels each spoon after the shekel of the sanctuary. All the gold of the spoons weighed 120 shekels. Wow. 87. All the oxen for the burnt offering were 12 bullocks, the rams 12, the he lambs of the first year 12, with their grain offering, and the male kids of the goats 12 for the sin offering. And all the oxen for the sacrifice of well-being were 24 bullocks, the rams 60, the he-goats 60, and the he-lambs of the first year 60. This was the dedication of the altar, and afterwards it was anointed. And when Moshe had entered the tent of meeting to speak with him, capital H, him, Yahweh, then he heard the voice of speaking from above, 5921, the covering, 3727, upon the ark of the testimony, from between, 996, the two cherubim, 3742, and he spoke to him. Now that ends chapter 7. Everything wound up being 12, one for each tribe of Israel. They had a whole bunch of animals, a whole bunch of gold spoons, you know, 12, all for the service in the sanctuary. I guess the leaders all got together and said, look, we don't want to have any pride going on here. Let's all just give the same thing, so one of us doesn't give more than another and cause hard feelings or anybody get an ego trip going, oh, I gave twice what you gave. Well, they didn't want that. They wanted everything to be very harmonious because this is a very solemn occasion for the dedication of the sanctuary. So I think they conspired a little bit, which was cool because it was a big deal. And chapter 8 is going to be about Aaron's instructions about lighting lamps and all of that in the sanctuary. And it's pretty straightforward. There's some ritual things in here, shaving. I'll get to that in a minute. They had to be clean. There's a designation in verse 17 that I'm going to highlight between Adam and beast. And pretty straightforward. They had just set up the tabernacle for the first time. And finally, you know, the timeline of these books jumps back and forth. One book will pick up in the middle of a prior book, and this covers and elucidates the initial sanctifying of the temple, the tabernacle, pardon me, in the wilderness. But they had done this preparation, and they went on and on and on about all the components and all the stuff they were going to do for it. And here we have another chapter, and they bring more information in. But then they repeat a lot of stuff. They are very repetitious in the Hebrew. They are. That's just, you know, I didn't write it. This was their style of writing. They were very different then from what we are now. We have changed greatly from these times. And they had a completely different nomadic mindset. They'd just come out from slavery a couple of years before. They've only been in the wilderness for a couple of years, getting out of Mitzrayim, and they were just trying to get their stuff together, okay? After a lifetime of cruel slavery, this is a big step, and there was lots of people. I mean, this is not a small group of people. You know, you see these movies and Israel's going out, and then they assemble actors. It would bankrupt them to hire enough actors to correctly portray the migrations of the Israelites coming out of Egypt. There were a ton of people, not just the Israelites, but animals and slaves and the mixed multitude that wanted to come with them because they wanted to leave Egypt too. And even though the Israelites were slaves, they owned slaves. Slaves of slaves. Because the Israelites were Adamic and were higher on the pecking order than a lot of their really dark slaves. So, and they brought a bunch of these people with them, which caused them a lot of problems later on. So let's get into chapter 8, and I'll go through this. This is going to be a little slower than the rapid fire gift giving. It was very redundant. Okay, I understand that chapter 7 was repetitious over and over and over and over. But it is a historical accounting of what went on. They kept meticulous records back then, which have since been pretty much lost. But the birth lines and all of that didn't stand the test of time. And all the capturing and exiling and moving around and things. You know what happens when you move from, if you sell your house and you move to another house, and you can't find stuff for a while. Well, this is a daily occurrence with Israel at that point. Pardon me. Chapter 8, verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to Aharon and say to him, when you light the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over the front of the menorah. Verse 3, and Aharon did so. He lighted the lamps over the front of the menorah as commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Verse 4, and this work, 4639, of the menorah was of beaten gold. To the shaft of it, that's 3409, to the flowers of it, 6525, was beaten work, 4749, that's one word. Four, six, three, nine means a piece of workmanship, and 4749 is hand-beaten workmanship. With beaten work according to the vision 4758, which Yahweh had showed Moshe, so he made the menorah. Now, verses 1 through 4 here, you can reference Exodus chapter 25, verses 31 through 40, and chapter 37, verses 17 through 24. You can reference back to that. Verse 5. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, verse 6, take the Leviim from among the children of Israel and cleanse them, 2891. And thus shall you do to cleanse them, 2891. Sprinkle water of purifying, 2403, upon them, and let them pass over, 5674, that's a bar, pass over a razor, 8593, upon 5921, all their body. And let them wash, 3526, their clothes, and make themselves clean. That's one word, 2891, again, to cleanse. All their body, they shaved completely. Okay, that's all we need to say. Verse 8. Then let them take a young bull calf with its grain offering, fine flour mingled with olive oil, and another bull calf you shall take for a sin offering. Verse 9, and you shall bring the Leviim before the tent of meeting, and you shall gather together the entire congregation of the children of Israel. Wow, that was a job, I'm sure. Verse 10, and you shall bring the Leviim before Yahweh, and the children of Israel shall lay their hands upon the Leviim. That was a ceremonial thing. Verse 11, and Aharon shall offer, 5130, the Leviim as a wave offering, 8573, before Yahweh from the children of Israel, that they might perform the work of the service of Yahweh. The laying of hands upon the Leviim was the blessing of the children of Israel ceremoniously on the Levites, because the Levites are going to minister before Yahweh for the children of Israel. They were set apart, even from the set apart people of Israel. Now, here you go. Verse 12, and the Leviim shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks. Now, when they did that, they imputed all their sins and all their blessings upon those bulls. And you shall offer one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering to Yahweh to make propitiation for the Leviim. All their sins are covered over by the blood of those bulls. It transfers from Israel to the Levites, Levites to the bulls. This is a propitiation process. Verse 13, you shall set the Leviim before Aharon and before his sons and offer them as a wave offering to Yahweh. They are Yahweh's. They are dedicated people to Yahweh. They are being offered as an offering. Verse 14, thus shall you separate, 9:14, the Leviim from among the children of Israel, and the Leviim shall be mine. Yahweh is speaking here. He's saying, these are my chosen of the chosen. They are going to be the ministers to my dwelling place, because that's what the tabernacle was. That's where he dwelled among the children of Israel, between the cherubim on the ark. That's where that cloud came down. He was with them at that point. Verse 15. And after that shall the Leviim go in to perform the service of the tent of meeting, and you shall cleanse them and offer them as a wave offering. That's a repetition. For they are wholly given to me from among the children of Israel, instead of the first to open, 6363, every womb, 7358, in place of the firstborn of all the children of Israel have I taken them unto me. Now this has been said before, but as I have said to you, they repeat things often in the Hebrew. That is their style of writing. Verse 17. Because all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, Adam, 120, and beast, 929. Now, beast can mean two-legged or four-legged. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim, I sanctified them for myself. Now, verse 17, you can reference Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. This is all goes back in their historical fashion, and just over and over and over and over. And still the children would rebel. They just, you know, wow. What do we do today? We rebel. Verse 18. I have taken the Leviim in place of all the firstborn of the children of Israel. He said that a number of times. and I have given the Levium as a gift to Aharon and to his sons from among the children of Israel to perform the service of the children of Israel in the tent of meeting and to make propitiation for the children of Israel that there be no plague, 5063, among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come near to the sanctuary. Because they had to approach at certain times to offer sacrifices. They had to bring sacrifices up there. So this is what keeps them from dying, from coming near the holy place. You didn't just walk up there. You had to go through a big pack of Levites with swords, and they were guarding the tabernacle. You had to have a legitimate reason to go up there. Even though it was in the center of the camp, it was holy ground. And their job was to guard it. And there's going to be a lot of changes when Yeshua comes back, because we have lost reverence and awe. We're no longer in awe of Yahweh. We just, oh yeah, he's God. Okay. I'm going to go watch football. Wow. Verse 20. And Moshe and Aharon and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levium according to all that Yahweh commanded Moshe concerning the Levium. So did the children of Israel to them. See, today we haven't seen all these miracles, but we've got this scripture that tells us all that Yahweh did. And people say they believe it. Oh yeah, yeah, I read that in the Bible. Yeah, it must be true, but then they don't act on it. I mean, if you really believe that this is the divine being that did all of this, why don't we obey his rules? And really, when you look at the rules, they're not all that hard to obey. Really. It's our minds that get us into trouble, and our physical lusts for things. You don't just lust after sex. You can lust after possessions or all kinds of stuff. You can lust for it. And I fall under that category. I'd like a new Harley. No, I don't think that's forthcoming here, Steve. You can look at the pictures. Verse 21, and the Levium were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aharon offered them as a wave offering in the presence of Yahweh, and Aharon made propitiation for them to cleanse them. I mean, they did all the stuff that they shaved their whole bodies and washed and did everything that they were commanded to do. 22, and after that, the Levium went in to perform their service in the tent of meeting before Aharon and before his sons, as Yahweh had commanded Moshe concerning the Levium. They had to make sure the place was kept clean. They were the workers, and the Aharonic priests did the priesthood. The Levites were not the priests, but a subsection of the Levites were. Only the sons of Aharon. And Moshe. Moshe could go in, because he was chosen of Yahweh, he could go in and talk with Yahweh. Verse 23, and spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, this is that which the Levium shall do. From 20 years old and upward they shall go in to perform the service of the work of the tent of meeting. Verse 25, and from the age of 50 years they shall cease from serving the work and shall serve no more. Verse 26, but shall minister with their kinsmen, 251, in the tent of meeting to keep the duty, 4931, and shall do no work. They were to help support the ones that were doing the work, bring them lunch, do all of that. They were to minister to the younger ones that were doing the physical labor in the tent of meeting. Thus shall you do to the Levium concerning their duties. Now, we saw in verse 17 specifically designating Adam, because the people of Israel are of Adamic seed line. They are not of mixed blood. They are purebred Adamites. So all through Scripture, this is stated over and over and over and over, identifying who Israel is. And any admixture of non-Adamic seed line to the children of Israel negates their Israelite status. They are no longer pure-blooded Israelites. They are a mongrel people. That is why he has stated over and over and over all the rules against mixing. We are not to mix. It is forbidden. But we do that today. We do that. We see it all over, all around us. We see women and men of obvious Adamic seed line with non-white partners. And the women are strolling along with their stroller with little half-breed babies, and they don't think a thing of it. And the churches are teaching that this is all right. They accept them into the congregation when it is clearly stated in the Bible, a mamzer, that is one of mixed blood, or a mongrel, shall not enter the kingdom or the congregation of Yahweh, yea, never, not even to the 10th generation. It's forbidden. Each kind into its kind starts right out in Genesis. He hasn't dropped that law. Yeshua Messiah didn't take that law away. He called the non-Israelite people dogs. He said, we don't give the food of the children to the dogs. Well, we can get the crumbs from the table. Okay, so he healed her daughter, but he didn't give her eternal life. Didn't say, oh, now you're an Israelite. Now you're part of the kingdom. She was not. That woman wasn't saved or any of this touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy stuff. She was a dog. And the dogs will be outside of New Jerusalem when it comes down. Read the book of Revelations. It doesn't change there. We're not to race mix. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no arguments. There's no such thing as spiritual Israel. That's hogwash. That's something for the collection plate of the businesses that call themselves a church. That's to help the collection plate. Well, we love everybody and we accept everybody. Well, that's you. You do that. Okay? But it goes against teaching in scriptures. But you don't care about that. You care about the money. Because that's how you make your living. You're a panderer. You're a facilitator for sin. You cause and teach the children of Israel to sin. And the Bible has something to say about what's going to happen to you, too. You who are teaching lies. You're going to have a specially warm spot. And it's not going to be pleasant. Well, we've wrapped up chapter 7 and chapter 8. I'm going to get into chapter 9 tomorrow. And this is all going real well. Eurofolk Radio has got all my shows up to date. You can go to the Eurofolk Radio main page and go to radio shows. And there's a little drop-down box, and you can click on Word for Word, and it will give you all the shows. You can listen to them or download them right up to date. And they wait maybe 2 or 3 days before after I broadcast these, and then they put them up. So. Thank you all for listening, and I've enjoyed getting into the book of Numbers here, and I will be back tomorrow on Wednesday. So may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will say Shalom Aleichem to you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus, go.